Welcome to the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And Nathan with Legendary Productions.
And our host, Alfonso Garcia.
Hello, everybody.
Every time he says your name like that, I want to go,
We can add that in post.
Oh, you know what's kind of cool? Yeah. Aren't you singing for like a baseball stadium coming up, a new stadium?
Shameless promotion, but yes, thank you. I will be performing at ONT Field in Ontario on July 11th. I'll be doing the national anthem before the Tower Buzzers game.
And what is the Tower? What?
Ontario Tower Buzzers are the Dodgers single A affiliate. It's their inaugural season. So
if you don't like Dodgers and if you don't care about Ohtani, names, Nathan, but... No, I'm just kidding. But you're singing, what day was it?
It's going to be Saturday, July 11th. And it's also a hockey jersey giveaway night. So if it's not my singing that'll bring you in, maybe it's the...
You're singing what's going to bring the house down, bro. Yeah. But also, this probably will come out after that, huh?
It may.
Let's pretend like you did it. Alfonso sang for the... Let's just pretend so we can cover our bases.
I was told it was the best that they've had this
year.
Yeah, that you sang on
July 11th. Yeah. What did you sing for?
It was ONT Field. Yeah, the
and they
Ontario
represent the Dodgers?
They represent the Dodgers, yeah. Cool. It was a great experience. I wish you guys could have been there.
So we got two different versions. So yeah. If it hasn't come up, we did the first.
Exactly.
And if it passed, success, standing ovation.
Love it.
And I got a cool jersey. That's a lie. But
and I got a question for you that segues into a topic I wanted to mention. And I didn't know you were going to bring this up, so I'll ask you.
Yeah, Alfonso, thanks for bringing it up.
You don't have to give details, but I was wondering, is this singing the national anthem, is this paid or volunteer?
This is volunteer. Yeah, this is volunteer unless they hook me up with a check when I get there.
Okay, so... No, that's good because it brings us into the next thing. But you get exposure.
I do get exposure. Yeah.
So and you love the Dodgers.
And I love the Dodgers. And I like to sing. So it's a win-win.
So I was looking at some social media posts the other day, and I came across an artist who was very upset that the idea of that people may want her to come and sing for exposure. And you do hit that, and this isn't the topic for today. This is just one that we're going to throw in quick. Okay. But I think we should talk about that. So there's performers that reach that certain level where they're like, you know what, exposure doesn't pay the bills anymore. I need to make money at this, and they are starting to get insulted by the fact that people will want them to come and just sing for free, but they get exposure, or they may sing for tips, but the venue itself is not going to pay them. And I saw several social media posts from this artist talking about this. And then they posted, I should put this up on our Instagram or whatever, just for opinion, but it says how much it cost for a singer songwriter to perform for free. And it lists all these fees. So gas money, $40, travel time, $50, dragging around gear on wear and tear in the equipment, that's $25. Bringing their own equipment, $20. Set up and tear down, the tag $20 on for that. Food and drink, $15. A hotel, if they have to drive for more than an hour, $75. Opportunity cost. I could have been having a paid gig or a recording session. So they want $75 for that, $30 for the mental and physical toll on their health for long days, late nights, stress, voice, body. So a total cost, this performer will not perform for less than $375. And I'm just wondering, you know, like, do you feel like, I don't know if that's the best way. I almost wanted to email them and just be like, don't promote yourself that way. You're making yourself look bad. I mean, I get it if you have reached that level and you're like, dude, I've put my time in. I can't perform for free anyway. But literally every post that I see from this artist is being upset. Like, this venue just wanted me to perform for free. Screw you guys. Oh, I can't believe it. Another person asked me to perform for free. It's every post is anti-performing for free, not wanting the exposure. And that's going to be hard because so many artists, if you are wanting to make a living at this, at some point, yeah, you're going to have to like get some money for it. But I just wondering if that is the best way to promote yourself right there. I think of a lot of stand-up comedians. If they're not getting paid, they are at an open mic night. They are practicing their stuff for free. And how valuable really is the exposure? I know typical venues can say that, like, but you get exposure. It is valuable, though. I mean, you could get something right. from, but I just want to know your thoughts on that.
My first thought is, I guess you have your right. I mean, I think people do get to a point where you go, hey, this is my livelihood, and I will only do it for money. I think that's fine to do. The itemizing thing is interesting to me because what I would say is, I'll bring a piano for you. Does that take off $75? You're only going 4 miles. If you do that times 20 cents or 80 cents, that's only $4. Can you take off the $75 or $80, whatever it was on there, or $40? Itemizing, I think, like that is interesting. But I think part of that, I think, is their clever way to be like, this is what it cost me to do your show for free. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they're doing. That's not my style. I wouldn't do it that way. I would just be like, here's my quality. Look at my videos. Do you want to hire me? Yes or no? And I think I would just draw a hard line there. I think that's what I would do. I didn't see the post and stuff, but it sounds like that person's a little bitter and not getting hired very much too.
Yeah, there's a few different ways you can look at it. I mean, they almost get upset with these people that want to bring them in, and they don't have money to pay for it.
But being a producer, I understand where I go, hey, well, yeah. And especially working for a community theater that's volunteer, you're like, I can't pay you. Like, do you want to come perform? And you have a right to say no, and you have a right to say yes. I don't know that you need to be mad about it.
Yeah, no, again, it's the blasting it on social media.
Yeah.
That is like, it's man, I can't believe it. I think, you know, if you're asking them to come and sing, you're not trying to insult them.
Right.
You're trying to like be, hey, we love your work. Will you come and sing? But they're taking it as an insult because like, yeah, it's just another group that wants to have me come for exposure, but they don't want to pay me.
I don't know this person, so I could speak on it openly, but I would be worried to hire them even for a real paid gig, because if that's kind of the attitude that I'm seeing out in the world, what would happen if you come there and say your dressing room is 60 degrees and not 69 degrees? Are you going to bash me on social media? I'd be afraid of a toxic outcome. Your tea wasn't hot. Or I would just be like, no, don't hate me. That would be my bigger concern. What are you going to represent? Are you going to say good things about? Do you have posts that say, this company hired me, they're amazing? Is that on there too? So I would just be cautious of that.
It kind of has a little bit to do with our post on Keyboard Warriors, you know, going way back about just actors or performers in general that can just really shoot themselves in the foot by going onto social media and just painting themselves in a poor light.
Yeah.
Just because I think that people don't really realize how many people do look at their social media. Maybe not everybody is responding and liking and commenting, but a whole lot of people are seeing it.
Well, I want to make it clear, I don't think saying I would only play for money is wrong or perform for, I don't think that's wrong. But I think maybe the tact of it is what I would probably, if they asked my opinion, I'd be like, maybe we could do a little better.
Well, to me, it's like, what is that artist trying to accomplish by posting that? Do they think that like a director or a producer is going to look at that and say, you know what? They're right. I need to do that. Or are they going to look at that and say, well, they're being really petty. That's where their mind is. And it's I truly believe that, yes, absolutely. If you're doing it for money, you're doing it for money. But just remember, you are doing art still. So you can be that mercenary, but you still have to respect the fact that you're doing art. And I think ultimately, a director or anybody that's making those decisions will look at that. Majority of them are going to roll their eyes and keep scrolling. So I don't know what they're accomplishing.
That's actually a good segue into our topic. I mean, I'm not talking about this person. I really don't know them, but...
Yeah, maybe, I don't know them either.
Maybe they're burnt out.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, our topic. It's our question. Yeah, so a question that we received when we were talking about it from a listener was, and they asked to remain nameless, which I can understand based on the question, but they said, I love theater, but lately I dread going to rehearsal. How do I know if I'm burned out or if I've fallen out of love with theater?
Well, I could see why they wouldn't want their name attached to that
yeah.
one.
Yeah, so they're
right now, my brain went through all 160 people in Frozen and Godspell, and I'm like, who said that?
Who is it? But yeah, that's an interesting question.
You know, what if it came in from the new listeners in the Japan, in the city that we can't say their name?
Correct. That's probably where it's from, so it's not our people.
Nathan made me promise I wouldn't say the name.
John has to edit so much. We don't want him to have to keep going chicken noises every 5 minutes. He already has to take out something I said this time because of Mike. Anyways, so... That's a hard question. There's a lot of layers.
There's
to that.
A lot to that. Yeah.
Mike, do you want to start? Or do you want me to start?
Let's break it down again. There was a few aspects to the question.
That's why I asked if you wanted to start because there was so much asked. I was like, what?
They basically said that they love theater, but they're dreading going to rehearsal. So how do I know if it's that I'm being burned out or if I'm just falling out of love with theater? It just isn't for me anymore.
Ooh. So burnout, let's start with that one, because that's the real thing, and that's going to hit everybody. And once you start getting burned out, then you do kind of dread it, because it's a lot of strain. It can be physical strain, it can be a mental strain, emotional strain. There is a lot to it. I mean, it's like, especially if, you know, what we were just talking about recently, you want the actor to grow, which means you want them to challenge yourselves, which means you want them to walk into new territory. And so that by itself is stressful. I mean, you're with a group, and you are, it's not the easiest thing to do, to let other people see your learning process. And because that means they're also going to see you fail. Like, you know, when the show opens, you're going to be in the spotlight, you're going to be in the best light, and hopefully you're going to be there to succeed. But you're watching all these talented people, and they're watching you, and man, you could fail. And people do, they do get worried about that. And, you know, we try to talk them out of it. No, it's not about that. It's about this. Mm-hmm. But even, you know, I don't know, maybe you or I even would feel the same way if we were asked to do something that was out of our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh man, there's people watching us. I don't want them to see. Let's do it tomorrow. I'll be more prepared tomorrow. And you could start to dread that. I could see you could start to get some anxiety from that. It could be, but there's a million reasons for burnout. I just went on to one of them. There's a million things that would cause burnout. These are people that are living in community theater. They're going to work every day. Maybe they had a bad day at work, and then they're going into a community theater situation. It's going to be high energy that night, and they're already worn out. And maybe it's already, you know, Thursday in the week, and they've already had a really long week, and I don't know. I see you're waiting to chime in.
Well, no, I was just trying to process, because that's a lot. Yeah, I think everyone probably experiences that at some point. But my first thought is, if we'll just hypothetically say, Alfonso, that's you, that, you know, you're feeling that way, I would just say to you directly, I'd go, did you feel that before you auditioned? Like, are you already burnt out, tired, overwhelmed? Or I would say to you, is there something in the process that's making you feel burnt out? What can I help you with? Or what can we take away? But the other side of it is, and I'm not saying this to be insensitive, pull your boots up, let's go. Like, there's a team that's requiring you to be a part of that. Let's roll. Let's do this. Like, let's get through it, because I think that will help just get through that. But I think communication would be the biggest thing. Tell me. I'd rather you come to me like, Nathan, I'm spent. I just don't want to do this anymore. I'm like, okay, two things. Yeah. We'll either replace you or lessen the load. Like, I mean, we've talked about many times, people matter more, but it's natural too. There's definitely, it could come up on that day was horrible. Your boss said, oh, let's talk about professionalism. You're like, oh crap, you know, or whatever it may be from HR or something. And then you come to rehearsal and you're like, I have to sit through 3 hours of blocking while I'm only in 15 minutes, if you add it all up, of the show.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here. So that's valid. But I also think you need to remind yourself, there was a time during, I hate saying the C word, COVID, where we didn't get to do art together. You sat at home on computers and you didn't get to engage with people. So I think a little bit of self-reality check to go, you know, I'm getting to do something that's special that we all lost for a moment. I think maybe, and the fact that I'm one of 30 people that got picked to be in the show when there's people at home that aren't in the show, I think kind of self-evaluating the value of what you're getting to experience. I'm not just saying that because I own a theater, but I think that's just a good life motto anyway. Like, I get to have a job. I get to make a living. I get to have a family. There's things I think we could kind of hold ourselves accountable to that. And that's just a life mantra. I think check yourself and go, you know, I'm pretty well off. Well, I don't starve, you know?
Well, have you personally, I'll ask both of you this, have you ever experienced a time where you just said, I'm over it, I'm done with theater, I'm not doing it anymore? And if so, like, how did you get past that?
I don't think I've ever had a moment where I thought I was done with theater. But I've definitely hit some, you know, some of those burnout moments. And it's been more, you know, probably emotional burnout, just lots happening. And, you know, lots to come. But I've always tried to, like, maybe just pace myself a little bit, like, to give myself something in there. Like, there's going to be something I look forward to in a week. Like, okay, I know that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm going to work so hard. There's so much going on. But Friday, I have purposely scheduled in like an evening free. And I'm going to take that evening and it's going to be purely non-productive. I'm going to do things that I wish I, you know, hadn't done later when it says, I can't believe you just wasted time. What did you do? I didn't do a thing. I watched TV all night long. Not even something new. I watched a rerun. Like I, but it has nothing to do with work. It's just like sitting there relaxing and it's like looking forward to it. I know like, okay, the first 4 days can be really, really hard because I know that on day five, like I'm going to relax. And I remember one time I was in a show and I was directing the show and some stuff was falling apart in it. And the costumer had, it was basically our set designer fell out. And so we had a couple people that took over and they were like, okay, we're going to do the set. And they called me up on like Friday and they're like, you're going to come down here too, right? I mean, this is your show. And I told them like, no, I'm not. And that was it. And they were ticked off at me. But I was, you know, trying to explain to them later, like, you don't understand, like everything going on, I have to have that Friday. If I don't have that Friday on Saturday, things are not going to be good. And that's going to roll over into Sunday because at that point in time there, I will not have had anything off on my brain. And I get how that must have looked to them. Like they were ticked off. Like, it's the director of the show. We're the ones down here doing his work. But it's like, I had to do it. I would have burned out completely had I not had just even that one evening, that couple hours. How about you in there?
Yeah, I have. But I have had burnout. And a lot of people tell me like, man, you do so much. You're always going, your schedule, you have so many irons in the fire. And this is a little more interpersonal, but the truth is I feel like I owe it to the production teams, to the cast. So when I'm tired or I'm burnt out, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but I put everyone that's been putting effort into Legendary or my own personal life or my other company with Tim. I feel like I work so hard to show everybody that it matters because I want to work harder than the people that are working hard for me. So I don't know if I've ever been to a point. There was one time I was doing film, television, stage. I was doing all kinds of stuff in my life. And I was just like, I'm done. I'm going to go back to the medical field and do that world and just do that. And I went and saw Les Mis. And the end of Act One, I was like straight up crying like a little baby. Then I went and saw Emily and Dustin took me, but I went and saw Newsies and then Wicked. I saw all three of those in a span of a couple months. And after that, I was kind of like, I'm not done. Like I had so much I want to give. And what it was is the quality, the millions that they spent on those shows. I looked at that going, I could do that for less. I want to create the same quality, which here's the deal. Spoiler alert, I'm not, but I will push that hard to create that for a lower budget, for people in the community, for people that don't have the opportunity to go live in New York or fly to LA or drive to LA or fly to New York or vice versa. I really do it for that reason. And when I croak in life and on my headstone, I really do want to say that I change, affect, and move people for the better. And that's not like woe is me or anything. It's the reality. That's how I live my life. I want my kids to develop that. So the burnout, it's there. I'm tired some days and I just don't, like truly, I literally only slept like 2 hours. But the reality is, it doesn't matter. I want to, if I could say one thing that will inspire somebody, that I don't let it be a, it doesn't take me down. So I guess, yes, I have burnout, but it's what I do with that burnout. And that's why sometimes excuses when people are like, oh, my big toe hurts. I'm like, okay, we're okay. We can get through it still. We'll be all right. I'm sorry about your toe, but we'll get through it, you know? And I'm not saying it's not valid, but so yes, I've had burnout. But I think the passion of art too, being a part of creative process, the hardest thing for me with burnout is doing creative things alone. I get tired of being alone, like building a set alone. It's not the work. I'll work all day. I'll build a set, whatever. But it's being alone, not being able to be like, ah, where's the team, the camaraderie? So even a creative team, when you're directing a show and you don't have a production team because people aren't available or you can't afford it or whatever the reason, it gets lonely. And that's when the burnout is like, I want to be creative. And that's why this podcast has been Mike and I had a moment a little while ago, just saying that when we started this, we were like, it'll be fun, a good excuse for us to hang out. And then it started as that, but then it was like, you know, we can inspire people, encourage them to chase their dreams. And just recently, we actually hugged it up and like, bro, we're doing it. It's cool. There's like cars out front. People want to be involved. And like, Alfonso jumped in as a host. John edits stuff for us. Like, people are filming us. And all those things add to that. And you go, heck yeah. So I think that's what inspires me, not for the burnout. So I wouldn't say I've ever burned out, but I've been tired. But you push through it.
Yeah, but you, two points. Yeah. No, one. When we first started, remember we first were doing our first episode? We were all excited when five people would listen to it.
Yeah.
And now I feel like we owe it to our Japanese brethren in the city. Yes, I'm not going to pronounce it, but, we got to keep going. They're listening.
Yes. What was number two?
So, but you have to do something to, like, so that you don't burn out. Because, I mean, you got the candle burning at both ends all the time. And I remember, you know, it wasn't so long ago, a few years ago, like, we'd go out to lunch together and you'd fall asleep at lunch. You'd be...
Mid-sentence.
Yeah, mid-sentence. And you'd be falling asleep. I remember we'd be, dress rehearsing in a show or something like that. And you'd be nodding off during that. Like, hey, Nathan, man, are you sleeping, man?
I'd be in a spa with you with the cigars. I'm like...
Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah, you'd fall. I'm like, don't go under the water. Like, how do you manage that? Because it's like, you got to sleep. You got to take care of yourself. You got to make sure that you don't burn out.
And just so anyone listening, my mom included, she actually has my medical number. She looks at my medical records. I'm actually really healthy. Like I, as far as blood pressure, health, I always could lose more weight, but I'm really healthy. Like on that level, the truth is, and any parent that's listening, even vacations with my kids, it's treasured time, but it's work. It's like, man, it's just a lot of work. But I think seeing them grow up and getting memories, that's where I get my joy, being with my children. Like, seeing them grow, experience life, I think that's where I get to go. It's kind of a refresher, whether it's through sleep or adventures. I'd rather be on a plane driving or flying to Montana, Costa Rica, Cancun. That, to me, is joy, even though it's work. There's some sense of, like, a refueling. You're like, yes. And when you hear your kids go, Dad, thanks for chasing your dream. Dad, I want to be on the podcast. I want to talk about, like, how much it's meant to me that you guys do theater and do art. Hearing those things, I'm getting goosebumps. That is the liquid fuel that fuels me. And I really do love the cast so much that when they celebrate, I sit back in the audience and I watch the cast receive the joy of their hard work. That is a refueling for me. I don't get it to sleep like normal people. Like, I need to go to bed. Obviously, I sleep. I sleep about 4 to 6 hours every night for sure. But I think just the joy of being a part of something bigger than me, I think that really is what fuels me. And really, that's what it is. And being around friends, and some nights there'll be a night like Alfonso and I went out the other night and just chilled. We literally just talked about life, about jobs, and those kind of things. Spawned days with you, which we haven't had in a while. Those are refreshing, you know, just to get to go sit and just breathe. And I play like Call of Duty, Fortnite, judge me. But those are some nights I do it till like 3 a.m. I'll just be playing video games. And it's cool because I shut off my brain and just watch these weird characters fight or run around and capture flags and stuff. Like, it's so that's a way I just kind of decompress, I guess.
Well, when you need to take those breaks, though, because you're so in it, you're so like very, you're very much a part of it. When you have to step away, do you ever feel guilty or you get that FOMO of like, ugh, I should be there? Even though you're having those great times, do you ever feel that?
Not FOMO, but I feel guilty. I'm like, ah, someone's having to cover that. Or someone broke a foot and I'm like, sorry, Steve, you're there alone. Or
which is a true story.
Someone fell off stairs and I'm like, I should have been at the bowl or whatever, yeah. You know? But I don't get FOMO because I'm not delusional. Like, the world will go on without me. Like, I get it. So I don't get FOMO. Sometimes I miss, like, I want to see the hugs and be like, yeah, they did it. But I do get guilty sometimes. Even when I go on trips, I'm like, I don't really want to post sometimes. I'm like, I don't want to post that I'm on a raft right now. So, but.
Yeah. I think that, like, when you're doing so much, and I'm going back to like Alfonso's original question, like, am I burned out or did I lose my love of theater? I think time will answer that for the people. I mean, you'll know if you've lost your love of theater, you know, the second a show ends, because you hear this all the time. You hear people like, that's it, man. When this show's done, I'm taking a break, man. I'm done. And then, you know, a week after that, they're like, wonder if there's any auditions coming up. It's like,
when's the next audition date?
Yeah. What's happening next? I think that's typical though. There's so much happening. And it is the physical and mental wear and tear going on, but in the midst of it, sometimes you forget how much you love it until it's done.
Well, and to get biblical a little bit, it's a season. Sometimes it's okay. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to live. You know, it's a season. And sometimes that season may be 20 years of your life doing theater. Sometimes it may have been 5 and it could have been the best years of your life. And now you're doing something else that's the best years. So I think it's okay to evaluate and go, that was a great season. What am I doing next? I think that's okay to do too. So maybe it is burnout. Just evaluate it. But I do think most of the time people come back going, man, I miss this. I hear that a lot. Man, I'm glad to be back.
Yeah. Last thing, because we're getting the wrap up signal here from John. But how would
he does a hula hoop.
How would you respond to that listener? How would, if they were to ask you that directly, what would you tell them?
I would tell them, be communicative to your director or producer, let them know where you're at. But more importantly, I'd tell them to self-evaluate and see what really is mattering or what's really going on. If it's the show, run, like drop, tell the director, like, it's okay if that's where you're at. Just be honest with yourself. But I would say, just be communicative.
I don't know if I'd say drop.
It depends if I like you or not.
I don't like people that drop. Like, complete your commitment.
It's a bad look.
That's just my answer. I don't like that.
I would do it because people matter more to me than the show. So if they need it out, go.
Well, like, I definitely think, you know, communicating though, like, if do you know the cause of the stress? Yeah. Is there a way that we can lessen the stress? That we can do?
When I say bad luck, I mean if you're doing it for selfish reasons. If you're doing it for a legitimate reason, if you're doing it for a reason that makes sense, obviously, you know, you got to take care of your life. But if you're doing it because, well, I didn't get that lead role, well, that's pretty weak.
And there is a way to drop out of shows. That's probably another episode, though.
That's true.
That's actually a great one.
I think I hit a button right here. I think I said something aggressive because they both are staring at me. They didn't mean that negatively. I didn't mean that negatively. I'm just saying, if they're like, I'm depressed and I'm hating life and you're ruining it for everyone, like, go.
Yeah.
Like, I'll see you later. It's
I'm
okay.
I'm not forcing you to be here.
I wasn't saying you guys don't care about people.
We'll revisit
when
this.
When you guys watch YouTube, talk about. They both stared at me like, I didn't say I didn't care about people, jerk. That's what they both looked at me like, I promise.
So, and with that,
okay, I'm
this
out.
Has been the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast. I am Alfonso.
Hey, we got 2 minutes, John?
Do we have 2 minutes?
Quick, let's hear that Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, we're not doing that.
Just do a little.
Let's all do it. This Harold phase up. Say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
We're going to stop right there. If you want to see the rest of that, July 11th at ONT Field, right before the Tower Buzzers game.
Or if you already performed it, you missed it. Sorry.
Sorry. The video's on my Instagram at Alfonso J. Garcia.
Instagram? You're going to share it?
I'll have the video up there for sure.
Yes, I'll share it.
We'll check it out.
Maybe we'll feature it on our Instagram.
Yes.
Okay, so this is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
Nathan Legendary Productions.
And Alfonso.
We'll catch you later.
Later. See you.